Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. What a beautiful weekend we're having again in this fall in Iowa. And I tell you what, it is in full-fledged fall without a doubt. It's great to see everything going up between the corn stalks coming down with the farmers in full gear of the harvest. Also, too, we see the pumpkins and straw hay bales and all the stuff that says it's October and just a great season of the year. I love, that's one of my favorite seasons of the year in living in Iowa. And we without a doubt have four distinct seasons. It is definitely without a doubt the fall. And we're just thankful for that. And God so greatly blesses us in our state with so many great things. But before we get started this morning, I just want to first tell, if you're traveling today and you've turned it on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio, I just want to thank you for listening to us today. I believe there's a word of encouragement for us. That something's going to, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. So make sure you stay with us this morning. Hang in there. I think we got some good stuff. Some of you are headed on your way to church. Be blessed, be encouraged, and know that God is with you as you travel to church this morning. And also, too, many of you have told me, Mike, this is my church time. I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you as the Holy Spirit leads me, and I believe leads us at topics of what God is working in our life. Also, too, before we get started this morning, I just want to touch base on a couple of things, just reminders that we are in full-fledged with Vital Men, have started up on Tuesday nights. We're in Knoxville, Ottumwa, and Oskaloosa. You can go to the vitalministries.org website. Check it out. You can find out the nearest location, the times of the meeting of the Vital Men. I just encourage you to be there. We are on a topic called Faith and the Constitution. This week, we're going to be learning about what the difference is between a democracy and a republic. Which are we? And I just think some good things, and also, too, how it's biblically based, how the founding fathers, when America was birthed, of how God directed them and showed them how to make our nation a one God, a godly nation, and which we so much need even more so today. So just some really good stuff. Also, too, we send out devotionals for Vital Life 6 days a week. My wife is the writer of that, and it is some really good stuff. So I encourage you to go to Vital Ministries, check that out. You can also get it sent on demand to your phone, so you don't even have to go to the website. It can click to you. You can go to that and check that out. Also, to Vital Men, we have stuff for you every day, 5 days a week, with incredible writers. Matter of fact, last week I had got a text from one of our writers on Friday. He is elk hunting and he was at 11,000 feet and he finally found a hot spot to text me. And he said, Mike, can you help me with the coordinates that somehow I got to get this devotional out and I want to make sure it gets to the men. But he texted me at 11,000 feet elevation while he was elk hunting. I tell you what, that is a man that's committed of wanting to write a devotional, but be a word of an encouragement. So I encourage you guys, some really, really good stuff. Don't miss out. Don't miss the moments in which God has for you to be encouraged as we go deeper into the Word of God and how it speaks to us each and every day. But we are, right now, we're in a teaching series focused on Christ. Isn't it everything in life? It brings life, literally, I believe, with all that's within me, into balance. Excuse me. Makes for better marriages, better parenting, and most of all, better living. Those who have never committed to Christ will never understand what I'm talking about today. But my hope is that we can better understand what it means to focus. Excuse me, folks. This is just hitting me. In the past few months, my wife and I have moved to the country. We both love and enjoy the lifestyle of the country itself. We no longer have cable TV. And for the most part, all we get from the news is what we stream. It's actually been good to get away from all the hype and the political news, and especially the fake news that we've allowed ourselves to watch. Man, I tell you what, you literally can get contaminated if you watch the fake news and all the stuff that the media tries to tell us of what is going right in the current administration and trying to get us to be, what I would say, move us into a direction to where we simply are nothing more than sheep following a leader. And I don't think that's at all what God intended, not for under this this administration. But instead, at night, we sit on our back deck and we watch the sun go down. We see the deer moving from farm to farm. The nights are quiet and peaceful. We are usually in bed. This is might be kind of funny to you, but we're usually in bed by 8 o'clock at night, sundown. But we're back up in the beginning of our day, of our morning at 4:30 to start. It literally has changed our focus as we watch God's creation at work. I think that in those moments that I'm talking about, that Jesus literally is revigorating, restoring my soul to all the toxic stuff, again, that we watch on TV and on the movies. To be honest, I think my relationship with Christ got out of focus and even to the point of falling back into my faith. We're going to talk about that this morning. Today, my hope that some of you, like myself, needed to get back or get right with God. Another term for that, I'm saying, is backsliding away from the Lord. Now, many Christian scholars will say that if you've been backslidden from the Lord, you never were committed anyway. I fully disagree with that statement, because this is what my Bible says. Peter backslid from Christ the night he denied him three times. He even swore, it says in my Bible, and denied him that he ever knew Jesus. Yet what does Jesus do? He takes him out to the Sea of Galilee and restores him, because he knew that he had fallen back in his faith, that he lacked faith, and that God needed him to get restored. How about Thomas? He lost hope and didn't believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He said, matter of fact, he said, until I see him and touch his wounds, won't believe. But what does God do? He opens his eyes. My Bible says that all the disciples ran that night. They arrested Jesus. They fell from their faith and they lost hope. We do that sometimes in the midst of our faith, don't we? We have moments in which our faith is challenged, moments in which we ask questions, moments in which someone dies, especially a loved one, especially a family member, and we shout out to the Lord, why? And in the why, sometimes we lose hope. See, falling away from Christ is something that you don't decide to do in one night. It's like the Casting Crown song, it's a slow fade. It all begins with a little compromise here and another one there. And then the next thing, you're now slipping, you're backsliding. See, today we're going to look at the three R's of getting right with Jesus today, a pathway back to faith to get back on your journey of faith itself. So let's jump in today. Let's ask Holy Spirit to guide, and hopefully, maybe some of you that have fallen away from Jesus, it's your time. Maybe this message is literally for you today to understand how you can get back, how you can get moving, and see what God has for your life. So again, my subject topic this morning is this, the three R's of getting right with Jesus. Revelation 2:5 says this, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. See, Jesus is speaking to Christian believers in Ephesus. He's giving them a message. He's giving them a word. He's giving them a direction of what's happening within the church and with their own lives. He had to say that to them. And in this verse, before we get there, he tells them that, hey, you have lost, in verse 4, he says, hey, you have lost your first love. They traded their devotion for duty. They had motion, but lost emotion. They had perspiration, but lacked inspiration. Wow, doesn't that hit you? Man, I don't know about you, but that hits me this morning. Sad to say, but I believe that the American church, not in its entirety, but for the most part, has lost its first love for Christ. For me, I think a lot of Christians go to church to get what I call a star, like a grade from a school. Didn't you like it when you were in grade school and you got stars, or you got something that showed that you did right on your paper, from a test to something that you wrote on? Too often we go to church thinking, if I show up, I get a star. If I drop a dollar or two in the offering plate, I'll get a star. If I sing with my hands in my pocket, at least I'm engaging, I get a star. I think a lot of you this morning are getting the picture of what I'm trying to say. See, we go to church to get a star, but it doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus says, I'll remove your lampstand. And this brings us to our first point this morning of the three R's, of why it's essential, of what it means for us to get right back with God, especially if you have fallen back, backslid in the midst of your faith. And I think it's important for us this morning, and I believe with all that's within me, it's going to be a word of encouragement today for somebody who has been like me, who's had moments in which we have backslid in our faith. So point number one is this for us this morning, if you're writing it down, we need to remember. Jesus says, remember from when you have fallen. Translating, that means keep on remembering. Remember where you have been at the highest commitment to Jesus. Go back to that place. For me, to be honest, it was simply going back to church. I had been in both part-time and full-time ministry in a church. I saw the rawness of church itself. In my mind, I thought it would be different. To be truthful, I really did. I had a misconception and realized that the heart of man is the same as it is on the outside as it is within a church. I saw the insecurities of leadership and the manipulation, and I allowed my heart to get hurt and bitter. And when COVID hit, it was easy to stay home. See, when you stay at home, there's no pressure. You get away from people. I did that for a year and a half, and I know many of you this morning can probably relate to that. It's easy. But my heart was really, really, had really gotten hurt. My wife finally, she came up to me and asked, are we going to go back to church? And to be honest, I wanted to say, absolutely no way. But I remember God had called me to be the priesthood of my home, like every Christian man is with their family. We're called to that moment. We're called to that place. It's important for us to, as men, to lead our families, not only at home, but also, I believe, with all that's within me, to lead them to church. We had recently moved to New Sharon, and my wife wanted to try out a church in New Sharon, so we went to Lighthouse Church. As soon as my wife, she sat down, she looked at me and she made this statement. She goes, we're supposed to be here. I tell you what, to be honest, I wasn't ready to say that at all. I finally sat down, my guard was up, and I wanted to make sure that there was no way my heart was going to get hurt again. I was not going to allow it. I was not going to engage. I was simply going to do my duty and go to church. Then soon after we were sitting there, this is something interesting that happened. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He gave me two words, very clear, as if someone had spoken it from the backside of my shoulder, from my right ear. The words the Holy Spirit spoke to me was this, help him. We have a very young pastor at Lighthouse Church. At times he's a little raw and he's speaking, but man, is that young man, he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's humble. The right man for the job at Lighthouse in New Sharon. And I encourage you, maybe this morning you don't have a church and you live close to the New Sharon area. And I would strongly recommend Pastor Eric Sneed is doing an amazing job at Lighthouse. See, I had to remember the why I went to church. Not for a star, but to worship and with other believers about Jesus. Eric has an incredible wife. She is the worship leader at that church. She is also filled with the Holy Spirit. And also, too, when she brings us to worship, we brings us to moments of the literally presence of the great I am. See, Pastor Eric has this this desire, this wanting in his heart for revival, not only for himself, but for the church. I see it in him. And when you see that kind of leadership, and also to the humbleness of that young man, I can follow that guy. And also too, as the Lord has asked me to help him. Not sure what that fully looks like, but I trust the Lord in what he said. And I'm sure he'll reveal that to me as the days go on. But see, folks, I had to remember back when. Go back to the place that I had lost my first love. It was at the church. So he brought me back because, folks, I love the church. Because Jesus Christ is coming back for the church. Coming back for his bride. I had to remember. Which brings me to point number two. We need to repent. See, I knew that I was closer to the Lord back when I had my first love, but I had lost it. I lost my heart for people. I was angry, and I wanted to be truthfully, I wanted to stay angry. I was out of step. But let me share with you this morning about something that happened to me last Saturday. Something that brought vision to me and also to a moment of desperation. See, last Saturday, we have purchased a small little farm across the road, and we're trying to make it good again. We're trying to bring back the life that was once there. Well, we're cleaning up things, and we're burning stuff and throwing things into a great big roll-off dumpster, trying to do our best to bring it back to where I believe that small little farm once was. But on that farm, there was a granary. There was this granary there that was there, and it was bad shape. It was pretty much deteriorated. The roof was gone. There was just so much work that needed to be done to it that it was going to take a lot of work to make it better. So instead of waiting, see, we're going to eventually tear down the house and the trees and all that, because it was built clear back in 1854, and there comes a time when it has served its time, and it's time to replace and do something different. But I had taken the old granary, and I'd pushed it way to the corner of what I would call the pasture area of where at one time the previous owner had horses, and I had pushed it over. And I was going to light it up. I was going to burn it. I want to get rid of it. See, I'm kind of a fire bug guy and that sort of thing. And a lot of the men who have worked with me and my men who work with me currently would say that Mike likes fire. Yeah, I do. I should have maybe been a fireman. But anyway, so I lit it up. But my wife told me before I lit the fire, she said, "Don't do it. Mike, don't do it." But she said, "I knew you weren't listening because you were so focused and intent on burning the granary down." And I looked at her. There was no wind at the time. I said, "It will be fine." So I went in, took charcoal lighter, sprayed it all over, and lit it up. You know, it started off with the small, and the smoke started rumbling out of the top. Then all of a sudden, the flames broke through. The flames reached 10 to 12 feet in the air. Man, it was intense heat. And all of a sudden, I get this moment in my heart thinking, "Oh no, what have I just done?" And all of a sudden, our barn at the very, very beginning where the rafter tails are sticking out, the shingles from the heat of the fire set it on fire. Man, it was a crazy moment. My wife and I said, "Run home, get the hose, hurry up and come back, and we're going to spray this down." And I knew that we were in trouble in a short amount of time, and I had enough sense that I called, and I've never done this before, called the fire department there and 911. "Please send someone out. My barn is on fire." My wife comes back with the hose, and in a frustrated moment, she didn't bring back the nozzle that I wanted, and all of a sudden, we had lost pressure from the well water because all of a sudden, the power got kicked off because of something that caught on fire and tripped what was going on to make the well work. So we literally had no water. Eventually, in a short amount of time, the fire department from New Sharon, they show up, and it was kind of a God thing. And at the time, my wife, she was literally praying, God, please help it so our barn doesn't burn down. Man, she is praying and praying hard. And the New Sharon Fire Department, they show up in a short amount of time. And man, talk about professional men and women who give their time voluntarily, came out, and they put that fire out in a short amount of time. I tell you what, I never felt so, be honest, so stupid in my life. Couldn't believe. My wife gave me the warning. She told me not to do it. I wouldn't listen, and I did it anyway. And it could have been a disaster. The only thing that really caught fire on our barn was a 3-foot area at the bottom, 1 foot up, and shortly those men at the New Sharon Fire Department put it out. And I want to encourage you today, those of you who have men and women who serve at your volunteer fire departments, give them a big yay. Tell them thank you for your service. Thank you. I have nothing but applaud those men and women as they showed up. They did an amazing job. They saved my barn. But see, after the fire trucks left and the smoke had settled, I knew it was time that I could actually leave from where it was. Everything was okay. And I have 2 small Highland calves, and I hadn't fed them yet. It was getting about 6:30, getting toward dusk, and I needed to go take care of them. And it was when I was out feeding my calves, it was there that the Holy Spirit reminded me of the fire. He reminded me of its heat, its flames. And he showed me that was a brief glimpse of how hell is. It's forever. See, I didn't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on heaven by any means. It was at that moment the Holy Spirit showed me some of the sin in my own heart, in my own life, and that I needed to repent and ask Jesus to forgive me. See, folks, we have those moments in our lives in which we go back and we have to remember, and then we have to repent. I encourage you today, maybe that's you. Which brings me to point number 3, is that we need to repeat. Jesus said, do the first works. What is that? I used to do that when my relationship was stronger with Jesus. For me, I had lost my worship. I wouldn't enter in. Hands in my pockets and doing lip service during the song worship service. That's how I did it. See, I love to watch my grandkids when they worship Jesus. They sing with their arms up, singing with gusto. My grandson, Levi, I love standing beside him when he worships. He's a 14-year-old young man, and I tell you what, he is a worshiper. He's moving, lifting his hands, lifting his voice. Man, I'm so proud of my grandkids, my grandson. But where did they learn how to do that? They learned how to do that by watching their mom and dad and how they did worship. And I had to remember, and I had to repent, and I had to repeat knowing that's where it started. How did it start? When my kids watched me and their mom praise Jesus. See, 3 generations now from the beginning of my lifetime praising Jesus with unabandoned worship. See, I had to repeat that. I had to go back to that moment of time. See, my grandkids need to see Papa repeat the worship. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't give up on us? Even when we backslide, He's there. I'm going to ask you this morning, where's your heart today? Do you need to remember back? Do you need to repent of sin in your life? And do you need to repeat where your greatest relationship with Jesus once was? See, folks, I believe with all that's within me that today can be that day. No better time of getting right with Jesus than it is with today. See, that's the reason why Folks, I do Vital Ministries. That's the reason why I get on KBOE 104.9 FM on the radio week after week, is to bring the gospel message, to bring Jesus to, that Jesus, that people come to Jesus, and Jesus, and that people come back to Jesus. See, that's the important thing I think of any pastor and what he does. And yes, people will ask me, Mike, are you still a pastor? Yes, I am. I'm still a pastor of Vital Ministries. God has got a call in my life to raise men. Everything about my life has been brought to this moment, and in this moment creates moments like this where God allows me to speak. And I pray more than ever that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Maybe today that you need to go back. You need to remember. Remember what was. Repent. And then come back to what God has done for you in your life. As you think about what he has done, that you come back and repeat. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, again, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you and we worship you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for, if some of us have never, maybe they haven't asked you to be the Lord of their life. I pray today that could be that day. Maybe there's some out there today that simply need, they've backslidden and they need to come back to you. They need to remember. They need to repent. And they need to repeat. Lord, I pray that maybe somebody within the sound of my voice has heard the stories that I've shared with them and it struck a chord with their heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you go with them today. Help them to realize that, Jesus, you're mighty and safe. You are so mighty. You are so good. And we thank you, Lord, in your precious holy name. Amen. We're going to continue this series, Focus on Him. I hope today was an inspirational time that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.